KALW.
I think we're safer down here than anywhere. And with this going on, I'd rather be here.
Some California residents feel safer on the streets than in shelters the state has provided, despite the health risks of living outdoors.
There's no access to water. I mean, no one's wearing masks. They can't wipe down their encampments.
We meet a team of physicians and medical students bringing health care to the streets. Then the band The Session wants to redefine what it means to be a pop star and get vulnerable.
You know, I think in our society, we are very caught up in appearances. How do we get down to the nitty-gritty and, like, really see what's going on with each other?
And we'll hear a reading from a local author's new novel.
It's about a mermaid who's been stolen from the sea, a witch with ulterior motives, and also the sea.
A mermaid, a witch, a sea, and more. That's coming up. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Throughout the coronavirus pandemic, the state has tried to reduce the risk for people experiencing homelessness by providing funding for hotel rooms. Some have been reluctant to accept help. In California's Tulare County, which currently has one of the highest positive rates of COVID-19, a team of physicians and medical students are trying a different approach, using healthcare to connect people to housing. From our partners at Valley Public Radio, here's reporter Laura Sitsui with that story.
Vera Miles has lived under the trees along the Tule River in Porterville for 5 years. The 60-year-old shares the space with her partner. She says she's not worried about getting the coronavirus.
I think we're safer down here than anywhere, actually. And with this going on, I'd rather be here.
But living outside is hard. Miles has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, and asthma. And in a pandemic, it may feel safer, but it is dangerous, says Dr. Omar Guzman.
There's no access to water. I mean, no one's wearing masks. Even if you wore a mask, if they don't change it, it just becomes a nidus for infection anyway. They can't wipe down their encampments.
He's out here offering healthcare to people like Miles. Guzman runs Kauai Delta Medical Center's street medicine team. He, along with volunteer physicians and medical students, go out every other week to homeless encampments throughout Tulare County. On this day, Guzman tells the team this work is like making house calls.
No one's waiting for it to be seen. There's no line, okay? So spend time and talk to the patient, figure out a little bit about them, you know, really make that patient-doctor connection that you guys were supposed to be doing, right? All right, any questions? No, we're good? All right, so.
And with that advice, 15 people grab intake forms and start walking along the river. Street Medicine's mission is to meet people where they are, providing preventative care. It's been done in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and some studies show it works to reduce the time and money spent treating homeless people in the emergency room. As we walk, doctors and students call out.
Anybody here? Hello? We're with Street Medicine. Is anybody around? Does anybody here need to see a doctor?
Diana Trumbull says street medicine was one of the reasons she chose Kauai Delta for her residency.
My name is Diana. I'm one of the second year emergency residents at Kauai. And then one of the medical students is going to be following me. But no, this is new for me, so it'll be interesting.
After 40 minutes of looking for tents hidden along the riverbank, Trumbull meets Holly Bella, who tells her she needs some antibiotics.
Channel lock stuck in my leg.
Oh no.
The 55-year-old Porterville native points to a scarred spot just above her ankle. She says she went to the hospital when she was injured, but lost the antibiotics after getting treatment.
I tried to keep it real clean, keep it clean and stuff. And I did have one of those cast boot things on.
Oh, okay.
But that thing was so damn big.
I know.
It was like just gigantic.
Trumbull pulls an antibiotic from a backpack stocked with medications. An attending physician from Kauai Delta signs off on the prescription. It takes 10 minutes.
You're going to do one pill twice a day.
Okay.
For just the 7 days.
Trumbull tells Bella that Kauai Delta is testing for COVID-19 further up the river. Bella says she'll check it out and the team moves on.
Yes, thank you very much.
No
thank
problem.
You. God bless you guys.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Yeah.
By the end of the morning, the group reconvenes. Only a few people accepted medical treatment. In larger cities like Visalia or Tulare, sometimes the team talks to 30 or 40 people. Veronica White is a housing navigator with the King's Tulare Homeless Alliance, and she's out on the river today, too. She says many of the people here are reluctant to accept help.
The client that has COPD, she's always been very closed to services. She never really wanted to come out to talk to any of us. And I think it was her husband who convinced her to meet with a doctor, and that opened up the door to be able to talk to her about our Project Room Key and our housing programs.
She's talking about Vera Miles, the woman we heard from earlier, who's lived out here for 5 years. It helps to have the medical team, says White. They can offer immediate care, whereas housing involves paperwork. But sometimes it becomes clear to patients that housing improves their health. Here's Omar Guzman again.
We were able to house two of our patients that were in a big need of housing because they're getting to the point where they're going to be hospitalized. I think they'll probably, if they were to remain out here, would have been hospitalized within the next 48 hours.
Guzman says the team will be back in a month or so. Soon, street medicine will have a weekly outreach to get more people preventative care, and if they're open to it, connect them to housing.
That story was from our partners at Valley Public Radio, reported by Laura Sitsui. KALW's justice reporter Holly J. McDeed has also reported on the street medicine team's work in Contra Costa County. You can find more information on that at KALW.org. And if you have a question about how the coronavirus crisis is affecting your neighborhood, ask us a question about it at KALW.org/coronavirus. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. The Session is a band that's a family of friends. Through the past decade, they've grown up together, dedicated to a consistent musical evolution with purpose. In their third full-length record, vocalist Lalin Sejust writes about digging for pieces of herself stripped away by conditioning. The lyrics are carried by the rhythms of producer and bassist Akiyoshi Ehara, and in this edition of Bay Area Beats, they share the influences behind their latest album called Cyan. First, they tell us how it all began.
We met on a study abroad trip in Ghana.
We would sit on a balcony and we would watch the trees sway and listen to all this music. And that's how I got introduced to Jeff Buckley, and we'd bond over D'Angelo and Erykah Badu. We didn't know that it would be something in our lives, but that was where the seeds, I think, were planted. Close my
eyes. We spend all this time just in this little basement bedroom, working on these things, not really thinking about who's gonna hear it. Having songs show up on NPR and, you know, just getting random texts from friends or family members, oh my gosh, I heard you guys on the radio. It's fun having it actually affect people or people respond to it is really cool. That's a great feeling.
I feel like this record is really about that reclamation of what's underneath. And so I found Cyan, the title of it just signifies that bold aspect of going after that. And returning to the sea as a way, and also the color blue as a way to find strength and power. Cyan came about, at least lyrically, inspired by a lot of things that I'd been going through, sifting through sadness, thinking about who I've been and who I want to be. So breaking down those ways that you've been conditioned, the ways that you are shaped to be.
This album, we wanted it to feel a bit more detailed and a little grittier. There's some more like rock influence on here and just more use of like distortion, and I think Wellen sings in ways that she hasn't on previous things.
Maybe it's time, maybe the moment's right to open my eyes. I want some light, the high of the ride. You know that there is something to know.
The Narrative Music Series is a collaboration with us and filmmaker Dominic Mercurio. They're in black and white. Let's see, Dive takes place in this undescript area with me in a pile of sand. I wake up in a pile of sand and I don't know where I am. I'm trapped in this place. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to get out. And there is a figure. A dark figure in that space that I dance with. The film is basically about my journey through myself and the internal worlds that I go through. So you'll follow me going, starting in one place and ending up in all these different places. You know, it's still a work in progress trying to be vulnerable. I find there's so many stages to it. There's so many barriers you have to keep breaking down. But I think it's important to me because it's just a part of our human experience. And I think it's how we can really truly connect with each other on a deeper level. And it's a part of my own healing process to share that, yeah, I have been really sad, or there have been times I haven't been able to get out of bed. Hopefully get to a place where it just gets easier and easier. And maybe it encourages others to be vulnerable in their lives as well. You know, I think in our society, we are very caught up in appearances and trying, and this idea of strength and, you know, how do we get down to the nitty gritty and like really see what's going on with each other.
It's like hopeful and frustrating at the same time, because there's more avenues for music to get out there and for people's voices to be heard, but we still tend to like run into the same bottleneck of like bigger gatekeepers.
We were at Tree Fort with Lizzo a few years ago on the main stage, and you know, she was just at the Grammys. She won a Grammy or something, or a few or something like that. And, you know, that's so powerful, you know, for girls to see this woman just bold, beautiful. She's big. She's proud of it, you know, and it's no shame. It's no, you know, so when you can see yourself, when you can see different people being put in front of you to reflect you back, it validates your experience and your existence in a different kind of way. And I think we'll see hopefully more of that, of just differences. You know, people are varied and beautiful in all of our different ways. And so we can't just have certain voices, even down to like skin color, like being a darker performer and like always seeing lighter skinned Black women, you know, being exalted and stuff. And so, and even having my own experiences of people trying to take me down because of it. But, you know, it's like, you gotta keep putting yourself out there. And so representation is very, very important.
Yeah, and hopefully just like adding to the nuance of like what people are allowed to be. And I hope it's in a way too that is not just like the same thing but packaged as this pop thing, but something that's actually vulnerable, like we were talking about, and complex and many things, not just like another pop star.
Hear it all, feel it all, know it's all inside of you.
That was an edition of Bay Area Beats with local band The Session, and it was produced by True Gwynn and Tariq Foda. Find out how you can listen to more of their music at KALW.org.
Where do you wanna go? Can you help yourself? Take yourself there. You can feel clear now. Where do you wanna go? Can you take yourself there? If you don't know, I'll go.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Bay Area authors have had to cancel launch parties and book tours because of the coronavirus, so we're bringing them to you in a series we're calling New Arrivals. Today we hear from Maggie Takuda Hall, who lives in Oakland. She's the author of the fantasy young adult novel The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea. Here's Maggie.
It's about a mermaid who's been stolen from the sea, a witch with ulterior motives, and also the sea, of course, and two kids who are just trying their hardest to find space for themselves in the world. I'm going to read to you from the interlude, which is the first of the point of view chapters from the sea's perspective. In this moment alone, a gray whale has beached itself on the red shore. A fishing ship pulls in more than 1,000 haddock in its tightly woven nets. Off the coast of the floating islands, a young boy, in his mirth and carelessness as he swims, has kicked a tower of golden coral, toppling it and drawing his own blood. In her depths, in her darkness, a monkfish in search of prey illuminates a lure. She is aware of all of this, but she is focused on the hollow edges where her mermaid belongs. She feels the absence like she feels a rock, corporeal and painful as it rubs against her. It is an ache. It is angry and raw.
That was Maggie Takuda Hall reading from her new book, The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea. Find more information on that book and more from local authors at KALW.org/new arrivals. And before we go, here's some new music from another local artist. This is Shipwreck Detective from San Francisco. They recorded their latest EP called Rest as the quarantine began in the Bay Area.
Today's Cross Currents team includes Vivian Bosu Skinner, Janae Darden, Sarah Lee Sterland, Lisa Morehouse, and Marissa Ortega Welch. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.